save his life so I could live.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
The Lord says, if you see evil and don't attempt to correct it, the blood will be on your hands. If you see evil and attempt to correct it, though you fail, the blood will not be on your hands. This is Dr. William Lyle. He is an advocate. He's an OBGYN, and he's an advocate for the unborn, and he is a Christian. Good morning, and thanks for being on our broadcast, Dr. Lyle.
Well, good morning, Red. It's an honor to be here to share some great information.
I did not become a Christian until I was 29. I was into Eastern religions, and then I, of course, had a born-again experience with Jesus. Usually, people of intellect have a little bit of a harder time accepting Jesus. Were you brought up as a Christian, or did you come to a saving knowledge later in life?
I was raised by great Christian parents, and I recognized my need for a Savior and took that opportunity to become saved through the blood of Jesus as a child.
Wonderful. Okay, so why did you decide to become a OBGYN?
Always loved medicine. I spent a lot of time as a child in the hospital with different surgeries, and I was fascinated with obstetrics and gynecology, mostly because this was the only time people were happy to go to the hospital. Nobody's happy about having their gallbladder out or having, you know, open heart surgery or their leg fixed. But everybody's happy when it comes to having a baby, and just fell in love with that joy. And you got to follow people from when they were younger to when they were fertile and delivering babies and then perform surgery later in life. So to me, it was just the perfect fix. And I just finished delivering a baby about a half hour ago, and it's exciting still after doing this for 25 years.
Yeah, I was tickled when I called you and you said we had to delay a little bit because you're helping a baby come into the world. Well, I mean, what a phenomenal way to spend your life assisting the good Lord above in birthing. Every time I see a baby born, I cry because it's hope for humanity, right?
It's hope for humanity, and you are seeing the image of God in person. We are created. I mean, Genesis 1:26 says that we are created in the image of God. And that's not on the day that we are born. That is the day of our conception. So at its core foundation, abortion is a direct attack against that image of God. Just like if somebody hates the United States, they burn the American flag. Why? Because the flag represents the image of the United States. Abortion is just a reflection of somebody hating God, and they can't destroy God, so they want to destroy the image of God, which is that baby in the womb.
It must be a horror to you. I don't understand the hardness of heart that people have in thinking that it's my body. What about the baby? You know?
Clearly, when somebody says it's my body, it's my choice, they're basically scientifically wrong. Because from the moment of conception, that baby is genetically different from the mom, genetically different from the dad. That baby's genetically different from the other 7 billion people on the planet. In fact, from that moment of conception, just that one cell is genetically unique. And moms and babies can even have different blood types. Half the time, they obviously have a different gender, but they can even have different blood types. And because they have different blood types, there's a condition where sometimes we have to give the baby a blood transfusion while it is still in the womb, even before it can survive on the outside. We've done blood transfusions to babies in the womb as early as 18 weeks gestation. So these are babies created in the image of God, but they're also my patients. And that's why I'm such an advocate for defending the rights and lives of my patients, both the moms, but also the babies in the womb.
Dignity for the unborn. I can't imagine. There's nothing more reprehensible when I was growing up of hearing about a woman, a mother who left the children and abandoned their children. It's just beyond what I'm capable of. What do you think about these people? Oh, they claim to be Christians, and they think that, it's my body, I can do what I want to do with it.
Well, one, we need to educate them. We need to educate them and offer them assistance. Educate them that this isn't just a blob of tissue. This is a genetically unique, new person. I mean, you look at Jeremiah 1:5, where God says, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. I set you apart to be, you know, a prophet for my work. God knows who we are from that moment of conception. He has a relationship with us from that moment of conception. A baby is not a burden. A baby is a gift. And when you have to find that you are pregnant, there are so many different great centers that are there to be at your side, to educate you, to meet your needs, and also educate the dad, because that baby is just as much a part of the dad as it is a part of you. So we want to let you know what that blessing is, meet your needs, not only during the pregnancy, but even after you've delivered that baby.
The Apostle Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of light and darkness. And I remember recently seeing this young lady protesting somewhere in America, and she was jumping up and down, kill the babies, kill the babies, kill the babies. You have to think she has a demonic possession in her.
Yeah, it's definitely a spiritual battle. We've lost the lives of 63 million babies created in the image of God here in the United States since 1973. Are we having victories? Absolutely. I mean, we have to celebrate those victories. I mean, Roe versus Wade was the law of the land for 49 years, and a lot of us really thought we would never see it go away. But with a lot of work and prayer, we were able to reverse Roe versus Wade. But now our attention has gone from one Supreme Court to courts in 50 different states, and we're still having victories. I mean, you look here in the Southeast United States, and you look even here in Florida. 4 years ago, our gestational age cap in Florida was 24 weeks gestation. And with a lot of work, we brought it down to 15 weeks. And then I actually testified and spoke with members of the House and the Senate a few months ago in Tallahassee, Florida. That night, the House voted in favor of a heartbeat bill. 2 weeks later, the Senate voted in favor of the heartbeat bill. And later that night, Governor Ron DeSantis signed that into law. Now, we've had a little bit of a hiccup going through the court systems, but we're still going to be victorious. And once we get that back on the books, then we'll start going against the abortion pill, because as of now, the abortion pill is the most common form of abortion in the United States. Over 54% of all of the abortions are performed with the abortion pill. It's not safe for moms. It's not safe for the babies. 98% of the time, it will kill a baby in the womb up to 10 weeks gestation. So number one, we want to educate moms about this. But two, also let them know that we can have success when they make a bad decision in reversing the effect of the abortion pill. We all make bad decisions. If somebody makes a bad decision and they overdose on a narcotic like fentanyl, we have an antidote, and that antidote is Narcan. When somebody makes a bad decision and by being pressured they take the abortion pill, we can safely reverse that. I've attempted reversal personally 19 times, and I've been successful 15 out of those 19 times.
I don't know what percentage of our population is black or cappuccino or whatever, but I know it's under 20%. And yet, I read the other day that 51% of all abortions are with black people. Is it not genocide? And when will people of color wake up to understand that these Planned Parenthoods are most frequently in neighborhoods near the poor?
Correct. I mean, the African-American community is definitely being targeted by the abortion industry. Some years when you look at the five boroughs of New York City, you will actually see that there were more African-American babies that were aborted in the five boroughs of New York City than there were African-American babies which were born. So this is targeted, you know, against the African-American babies. We know that Margaret Sanger was a huge racist, and the original formation of Planned Parenthood was to really attack the African American community.
Now, you're going to be coming and speaking for CareNet at their 39th annual fundraising dinner banquet. That's Friday, November 17th, 2023 at 6 p.m. What will you be speaking about? I guess the title is A Patient is a Person No Matter How Small.
Correct. One, we're going to celebrate the amazing work that they are doing at this CareNet facility. They are meeting the needs of women, meeting the needs of the dads. They are showing the life with ultrasound, and they are meeting their needs during the pregnancy and after the pregnancy. But they're also leading with the gospel, because the gospel is our most powerful tool to reverse the effect of this evil that is upon our land called abortion. But we're also going to be raising funds to continue their work. But I'm also going to give everybody new tools. Tools that when they leave the event, they can use to defend the preborn in the womb. My talk is going to revolve around patience rights. More than half of the states in the United States now actually have laws that list patients' rights. The state of New York has 22 different rights that all patients have. We've all been a patient. We've all been to a hospital. We've all been under a doctor's care, and patients have rights. We're going to show you how we treat the babies in the womb as patients. We are performing routinely blood transfusions to save babies' lives. We're going to show videos of how we are now performing open heart surgery on babies in the womb. There was a baby at the Cleveland Clinic 2 years ago that had a tumor in its heart called a teratoma. And they, at 27 weeks gestation, they made an incision in the mom's belly after the mom had been given anesthesia and she had an epidural. Then they made an incision in the womb of the mother, brought out both of the baby's hands, and then the baby had an IV placed. So the baby had its own anesthesiologist, and the mother had an anesthesiologist. Then the pediatric cardiothoracic surgeons made an incision in the baby's chest when the baby was receiving fentanyl and Norcuron medication in the IV. They made an incision in the baby's chest, removed the heart tumor, and the baby's heart started to pump perfectly normally. Then they closed the baby's chest, removed the IV, tucked the arms back in, closed the uterus, closed the skin, and then delivered that baby 10 weeks later at 37 weeks, and that baby named Ryland is doing great. But we're also doing laser vascular surgery. We're doing spina bifida corrective surgery. We are now in generation 3 of spina bifida corrective surgery. And then just last month at Boston Children's Hospital, they actually did vascular brain surgery on a baby in the womb that was diagnosed with something called a Galen malformation. So if we can perform all of these procedures, and if we can give them blood transfusions and even medication, they are patients. And if patients have rights, one of the questions I'll often ask is, if a patient was not born in the United States, do they still have these rights? And of course, everybody says, yes, they have these rights. What if they were not born in the United States yet? Because clearly, these are my patients, and clearly they have not been born in the United States yet, and we need to meet their needs, and they do have rights. This is a spiritual battle. Yes, we argue that we have the pro-life and we have the pro-abortion side, but this is deeply a spiritual, demonic battle that we need to engage in. So yes, we can use science. Yes, we can use the law and representatives and governors and senators, but this battle needs to be led by our pastors. You don't want a bunch of elected officials and gynecologists leading a spiritual battle. So this message of life needs to be coming from our pulpits, not just because it's the right thing to do, but also because the church is hurting. LifeWay did a survey last year where they looked at the number of people in congregations that had personally been involved in an abortion. It went from as low as 18% to as high as 24%, depending on the denomination.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Red Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
To the hopeless, freedom to captives, in the name of the Father and Son, we speak healing to heartbreak, peace to the restless. Your salvation has come. Arise and shine, come out of the darkness, walk out your chains. Arise and shine, come and give Him worship, glorify His name.
traveler, beat down from the storms that you have weathered. Feels like this road just might go on forever. Carry on, you keep on giving. But every day this world just keeps on taking. Your tired heart is on the edge of breaking. Carry on, weary traveler, restless soul. You were never meant to walk this road alone. And it'll all be worth it, so just hold on. No more searching. Heaven's healing's gone to find where all the hurt is. When Jesus calls, we'll lay down all our heavy burdens. Carry on, oh, weary traveler, restless soul. You were never meant to walk.
Yeah. בידיך נשקם את סוכת הלב ואלה ימי הקציר השדות לבנים בעולם אנחנו עבדיך לרמך מכריזים את דבר אדוני
Behold he comes riding on the clouds shining like the sun oh at the trumpet call hear the your voice the year of jubilee out of Zion's hill salvation comes Behold he comes riding on the clouds shining like the sun
to Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson, airing daily Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. and p.m., and also heard each Saturday at 12 noon.
To my heart, yeah. barely breathe. I'm falling on my knees. Heaven help me, heaven help me. And I can feel you near, and I can hear you speak. I'm falling on my knees. Heaven help me, heaven help me. Help me, help me.
This is Keith Masters, a street witness, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. When Jesus delivered me from my alcohol addiction, I was in my truck on Interstate 95, driving north, and all of a sudden, I heard chains hitting the truck floor, and my body felt like it was lifted up. The chains sounded like a battleship dropping anchor. It took me a while to completely understand what happened, because I always lived my life in fear. So I was afraid as the love of God was removing the chains of addiction in my life. Psalm 91 from the Bible is a daily reminder for me that I don't have to be afraid, because it is God who will protect me, and it doesn't get any better than that. Listen now as we read Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue Him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 91. This is an invitation to lose your fears in God's never-ending love. This is Keith Masters, a street witness, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
My life to you. heavens rain down on us now, that the mountains might shake as your glory comes down. We heard of your wonders, your works and your ways. We're desperate for you, Lord, to move in our day. Yes, move, Spirit, move. We want you to move, Spirit, move. Move in us, among us, and touch the world through us. Without you, we can't find our way. So move, Spirit, move today. Yes.
If I lose, let me lose my life. 'Cause if I belong to Jesus, the flesh is crucified. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I grow, let me grow in you. Wilt the seeds of wants and more, ripping pride out by the roots. And if I'm still, let me hear you speak. Not the tone of my transgressions, but the song of our redeem. For me, part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna ask to higher mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. So in every single Lord I give you fragrance, and that puts a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day, beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. Don't fuss and fight, let us unite. Got my life, oh, it's a beautiful day. Yeah, it's a beautiful day. Yeah. So when do I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death? Then I will fear no evil, won't be dismayed. When I see the clock ticking away and things are not in place. Everything in life happens for a reason. Disappointment comes with a lesson. It's a meeting advisor, got to work harder. In the end, it will get better. Thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day, it's a beautiful day. Don't force a fight, disaster and sing hallelujah through the pain. And even in the shadow of death, I will praise you. And even in the valley,
from sunny South Florida, and I'd like to share with you some exciting things that God is doing in the world of arts and entertainment. Join me now for A Heart for Hollywood.
On the good ship, Lollipop it.
From Shirley Temple to Judy Garland to Britney Spears, from Andy Rooney to Donny Osmond to Justin Timberlake. Millions of us have enjoyed young artists' gifts of music, dancing, and acting, and we have been amazed by many other famous children born with incredible gifts and talents as they bring us joy, laughter, and maybe even tears. Shirley Temple was dubbed America's Little Miracle by President Franklin D. Roosevelt. This little child raised the spirits of Americans who were struggling through the Great Depression. But is God calling these young people? What are they to do with their gifts and talents? And what are the parents of these incredible kids to do? God certainly wants to use them. He certainly endowed them with these incredible talents. Young artists and their parents must keep their hearts close to the Lord's heart and in deep fellowship with Him if they are to be used by Him and not succumb to the dark sides of success. They are going to be susceptible to all of the difficulties and temptations that come with pride. When we start to think it is about us and not God's gifts to us, the problems begin. When pride takes over your soul, the gift becomes corrupted and an idol is produced in us. Proverbs 3:6 reminds us, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." If we stay in close communion with our Creator, a calling can and will be a tremendous blessing to God and to entire nations. God really does call children. Samuel was brought to the temple to be raised up, and he served God and God's people. David, the poet, songwriter, was called to slay Goliath and save God's people. God is calling His artists, and some